Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. You may remember the context of Exodus chapter 20. It is the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are a set of laws that God gave the children of Israel as a basis for their governance of their society. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, we see one of those Ten Commandments, and it is this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, the children of Israel are coming out of slavery in Egypt, and they are camped at the base of Mount Sinai. And God is speaking these Ten Commandments directly to them. So you can imagine being at the base of Mount Sinai and then hearing the voice of God coming out of the heavens with these Ten Commandments. And at the end of the giving of these Ten Commandments here in chapter 20 and verse 18, it says, "Now all the people witness the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" And so God had been speaking to them directly, and they were concerned about that. God had been laying down the law, literally, and he wanted their full attention to these things. Well, the Ten Commandments form the basis of the rest of the law of Moses. It is the nucleus, if you will, of what God desires for them to live under his law. And he wanted to impress these things upon his people. And so they appealed to Moses to intercede for them. And Moses then goes up on the mountain and receives the remainder of the law. Well, this particular commandment, the commandment not to take the Lord's name in vain, is the third commandment of these ten. And these commandments are basically given in two parts. There is the section regarding one's relationship with God, and that's the first four commandments. And then 5 through 10 concerns a person's relationship with his fellow man. And so, in essence, in these Ten Commandments, you have love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're dealing with one of the commandments that has to do with our relationship with God. And this commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," is a commandment that we need to think about even today. You know, out of all of the Ten Commandments, there's only one of them that we are not required to observe under the New Testament also. And that one is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath was Saturday. And the Sabbath has not changed like some religions allege. It's still the same day that it used to be. But under Christianity, we worship on the first day of the week, as Christ has commanded us, under the new covenant. And so that's the one commandment that does not persist into the new covenant. But when we think about the name of God and taking the Lord's name in vain, let's look at the content of this command. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." This is a prohibitive command, something we are not supposed to do. You know, sometimes the Bible tells us things to do, and sometimes it tells us things we are not supposed to do. And this is something we are to avoid. And when we think about this great command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, a positive command, in essence, this negative command is saying, this is a way in which you show disrespect for God. This is a way in which you show something other than love for God. That is, by taking the Lord's name in vain. And so instead of loving God, when one takes God's name in vain, he is showing just the opposite. Well, what is the name of God here that is being discussed? God's name as given to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, there at the burning bush, was I am that I am. And most scholars today, and it's a four-letter name, roughly transliterated into the English characters YHWH, okay? And some people today think that is pronounced Yahweh. That seems to be the best pronunciation that we have of it. And so when God says, don't take my name in vain, the name of God here goes beyond the mere four letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the concept of God, the great I am, which we are supposed to respect. Yes, we're not supposed to use his name in vain, and we'll talk about what that means in a moment, but when God told Moses, I am that I am, he was saying something to Moses about himself that was beyond what men typically thought about in relationship to the gods of that day and time. God is the great I am. And we are to respect him, his name, and everything that he is. And so taking the Lord's name in vain is just one aspect of disrespect for him. And so what God is saying here and saying, do not take my name in vain, is that when we invoke God's name, it needs to be in a way that is meaningful, respectful, and honorable. Not in a way that is meaningless, with disrespect or with dishonor, or in some way that is empty or vain, as the word indicates. Now, this could include things like making a vow, and that was a large part of what this commandment was about. In Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, we read, when a man vows a vow unto the Lord or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And so there's part of what this means is about keeping your promises and doing what God wants you to do in regard to your commitments. And so that's at least part of what this is talking about, but it's more than just that. To use God's name in vain, as we mentioned earlier, is to use it in an empty way or a meaningless way. In the New Testament, we see that the Pharisees and those like them perverted this command to mean not to use God's name for any reason. And that, of course, wasn't right either. They refused to utter God's name even in spiritual contexts. Scribes would obtain new pens to write this word, Yahweh, when they had an obligation to write it in the scrolls. They would refrain from writing the full characters even. And many were upset with Jesus because he actually used God's name in talking about God. In John 8 and verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. most likely Jesus was making a reference to the name of God there and putting a claim upon it that he was, in fact, divine. He used God's name, he claimed to be God, and they took this as being blasphemous because they had the wrong idea about what it meant to use God's name in vain. Well, those who refer to God in this way, the hyper prohibition of the use of God's name, that's not what the commandment was about. It wasn't about saying, well, you can never utter the name of God at all, or you can never talk about God at all in any context. That's just the opposite of what God is trying to communicate here. What he's saying is that there is an appropriate way to talk about him. There's a right way to have a conversation about God. And we need to have those conversations. What we don't want to do is so trivialize or to so use God's name void of any meaning whatsoever that God just becomes a byword of some sort. And that there's nothing then that it has reference to. And that's another point that we can make about this. Those who refer to God in common speech also take God's name in vain. The expression that is used so commonly and flippantly today, quote, oh my God, unquote, that you hear almost constantly in the world is an illustration and an instance, more than an illustration, but an instance of using God's name in vain. There's no desire there to have a spiritual discussion. There's no desire there to talk about holy matters. It's just a selfish expression used to highlight how flabbergasted that one really is about something, whatever that might be. And so using God's name in that way is certainly inappropriate. And we would do well to avoid that, as well as to avoid any euphemisms. That is, similar ways in which to express one's flabbergast, so to speak, with the state or affairs of the world. Why would we want to take God and insert him into such a selfish, meaningless, and vain context? We would not want to do that. Those who invoke God's name in an oath without intending to follow through in that oath, such as saying things like, I swear by God that I will do this or that, and then never really intend to do this or that, is another way to take God's name in vain. Leviticus 19 and verse 12 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely and profane the name of God. I am the Lord. In Psalm 15:4, it says, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not is the one who honors the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 and 22, we read, when you shall vow a vow unto the Lord your God, you shall not be slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of you, and it would be a sin in you. But if you shall forbear to vow, it shall be no sin. And so there are numerous ways in which one could take the name of the Lord in vain. It's not just about making vows, although it does include that. It is also about being flippant with holy things, things that we must regard as sacred and inviolable, things that we must not make common in our everyday walk of life. Let's also consider some things the New Testament has to say about this. Jesus clearly taught that we're not supposed to take the name of God in vain in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33 and following. He said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to them of old time, 'Thou shalt not forswear yourself, but you shall perform unto the Lord your oaths.' But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your speech be yes, yes, and no, no, and whatever is more than these is of the evil one." What was Jesus talking about there? Well, they were so concerned about taking God's name in vain that they had invented new ways to swear or to make oaths in reference to God. They would make oaths by heaven. They would make oaths by the temple. They would make oaths by the city of Jerusalem, all the while thinking that they were avoiding taking God's name in vain. And Jesus was, in essence, saying, you're not avoiding it at all. You're committing the same sin, just in a different way. And what then were they to do about that? Instead, he said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. In other words, keep your promises. We can use God's name in vain by saying, I'm a Christian, and then going out and lying to people about something, whatever it might be, promising them something and then never intending to keep it. You see, that's as much using God's name in vain as if you were to use some kind of expletive in front of God's name. Why is that using God's name in vain? Because here I am proclaiming to be a follower of Christ, and yet on the other hand, I go out and do something like lie, cheat, steal, break my promises, perform other acts of wickedness in my life. Is that not using God's name in vain? Think about what James says in James chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by the heaven, nor by the earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, that you do not fall under judgment. We also need to keep God in honor and respect in our lives at all times. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. When we think about these passages, what they're telling us is that every word that comes forth from our mouth needs to be something that is going to give grace, that is going to edify, that is not going to be corrupt, and that is going to be helpful to others. Now, that doesn't mean that your words must be constantly syrup, dripping with syrup, and always nice and sweet, in the sense of you never say anything contradictory or you never say anything that would be designed to correct or to improve someone. That's not what it's talking about. But what is it talking about? Letting our words be used by God in a productive and helpful and meaningful way. And yes, sometimes that means we have disagreements with others. Paul had plenty of disagreements with people. When he would go into a new town and he preached the gospel there, he would reason with them, the text says. And sometimes he would dispute with them. Did that mean that he was not being loving and kind? No, he was doing the most loving and kind thing that he could do, preaching to others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, having our speech be pure is an effort on our part to make the gospel available to others. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say that we go around and we're talking like a sailor, using salty language. And people see that and they look at us and they say, well, are you a Christian talking like that in your language? What is our answer going to be? Are we using God's name in vain in our words and in our deeds? Let's not blaspheme the good name of God, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Now, the consequences of this commandment here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He will not hold us guiltless. That is to say that one who uses God's name in vain is guilty and worthy of punishment. Leviticus chapter 24 and verses 10 through 16 sets forth an example of what happened to those who use God's name in vain. And the outcome was one that was not very pleasant for them. Failing to follow through with an oath meant that one was guilty and that one had to offer a guilt offering before the Lord. Leviticus chapter 5 and verses 4 through 6 sets forth that process. Jesus also pronounced consequences upon vain or empty words. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 36 through 37 says, "And I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Our words are being recorded in heaven. Every single thing that we say, and though we may forget what we say, God will not. And one day, those words will be used against us in judgment if we are impenitent of using empty, vain, and idle words. And so the guilty will be punished. They'll be punished at their own hand even by the words that they used in a vain and empty way. But let's remember that our words can also be used to glorify God. They can be used to lift up Christ. They can be used to make the good confession that God wants us to make, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And through that good confession, along with hearing the word and believing it, repenting of our sins and being baptized into Christ, will then result in forgiveness. For Christians, these sins will continue to be forgiven if we confess to the Lord our sins. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so how do we handle those vain words that we have said and spoken? We need to go to God in prayer. Use those words to ask for forgiveness instead of using those words in vain. Use God's name to approach Him in prayer and talk to Him about our troubles. And He has promised that He will forgive. That is certainly a great use of the name of God. Well, let's remember this third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And let's remember not to make vain oaths. Let's remember not to blaspheme God. Let's remember not to refer to God disrespectfully in any way. And understand that using the name of God is a privilege and an honor. And that through properly using God's name, we are then able to help others come to know about Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you need help in that regard. If you would like to ask for the prayers of the church, there's a great way to use the Lord's name. Or maybe you'd like to become a child of God. In so doing, make that good confession that we talked about a few moments ago. There's a great way to use God's name. If you have a need this morning that you would like to come forward and make known, we invite you to do so right now while together we stand and while we sing.